The waters of Alaska are vast and unforgiving, their beauty masking a cold and relentless wilderness. Fishermen flock to its shores each year, chasing fortune in a grueling and competitive industry. In the small, remote town of Craig, life revolves around the ebb and flow of the fishing season. It's a transient existence. Strangers become neighbors, and rivalries often simmer beneath the surface. Yet, amidst the camaraderie and competition, no one could have foreseen the horror that would unfold aboard a vessel that symbolizes both success and promise. A fire that consumed not only the ship, but 8 innocent lives would leave behind ashes, unanswered questions, and a legacy of fear that still lingers over the icy waters. And that's because that fire was not an accident. This is the case of the Investor Murders.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But these days, it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made. And from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. It's crafted with timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, which means this hoodie can withstand any outing or adventure. It'll be your new favorite hoodie, and you can depend on it for years to come. Plus, buying from American Giant means supporting local communities of farmers, manufacturers, and more. This season, snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Code CLASSIC24.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Investor Murders remain one of the most haunting and complex criminal cases in Alaska's history, tied deeply to the rugged and competitive fishing industry of the Pacific Northwest. At the center of this tragedy was a vessel that stood as a symbol of success and ambition, the Investor. A 58-foot fishing boat, it was one of the most advanced of its kind in 1982, boasting cutting-edge technology designed for salmon fishing. At a value of $750,000, over $2 million in today's currency, the Investor was not just a boat. Mark Colthurst, the owner and captain of the Investor, was a 28-year-old fisherman from Blaine, Washington. Known for his hard work and ambition, Colthurst had built a reputation as a successful figure in the fishing industry at a remarkably young age. The Investor was a culmination of his achievements, a vessel that set him apart from many of his peers. With its modern design and state-of-the-art equipment, the Investor allowed Mark to maximize his profits during the lucrative salmon fishing season, earning the respect, and perhaps envy, of the tight-knit and competitive fishing community. And for Mark, the Investor wasn't just a professional endeavor. It also served as a temporary home for his family. Mark's wife, Irene Colthurst, was his steadfast partner, both in life and in work. Also 28 years old, Irene was described as a kind and loving woman who brought balance to Mark's ambitious nature. She was deeply devoted to her family, often joining her husband on fishing trips along with their 2 young children. Irene had a gentle but strong demeanor, managing the unique challenges of raising a family in the unpredictable and often harsh environments of the fishing industry. Those who knew her spoke of her warmth and the care she showed to everyone around her, whether it was her children, the crew, or the community they interacted with during their voyages. The Colthurst children, Kimberly and John, brought light and laughter to the family's life aboard the Investor. At just 5 years old, Kimberly was described as a bright and energetic child who loved accompanying her parents on their fishing adventures. Her curiosity and playful spirit endeared her to the crew and those they met in their fishing ports. Kimberly was often seen exploring the docks or playing on the deck of the Investor, her presence a joyful reminder of the family-oriented environment Mark and Irene cultivated. Kimberly's younger brother John was 4 years old and shared his sister's love of adventure. Cheerful and inquisitive, John was always eager to follow in his father's footsteps, watching and learning about the fishing trade even at such a young age. The Colthurst decision to include their children in their fishing lifestyle spoke to the family's close bond. While many in the fishing industry chose to leave their families behind during the season, Mark and Irene believed in staying together whenever possible, even if it meant exposing their children to the rigors of life at sea. Aboard the Investor, alongside the Colthurst family, were four young men who made up the crew. They were teenagers at the start of their adult lives, drawn to the fishing industry by the promise of hard work, adventure, and good pay. The Investor provided them with an opportunity to learn from an experienced fisherman in Mark Colthurst, and for many, this was their first real foray into commercial fishing. Their enthusiasm and energy were vital to the operations aboard the vessel, and they were more than just employees. They were part of the team that lived and worked together in close quarters, building camaraderie as they faced the challenges of life at sea. Dean Moon, a 19-year-old from Washington, was one of the newer crew members aboard the Investor. Dean was described as eager and hardworking, with a genuine interest in learning the trade. Friends and family remembered him as someone who approached new challenges with determination and a positive attitude. Joining the crew of the Investor was a significant step for Dean, who saw it as an opportunity to gain valuable experience in a competitive industry. Dean was joined by his close friend, Jerome Keown, also 19 years old. Like Dean, Jerome was new to commercial fishing, but saw the Investor as a promising entry point into the industry. Jerome was described as thoughtful and dependable, someone who could always be counted on in difficult situations. His friendship with Dean likely provided both young men with a sense of comfort and familiarity as they navigated the physically demanding and often unpredictable life aboard a fishing vessel. Michael Stewart, another 19-year-old crew member, was known for his easygoing nature and strong work ethic. Michael had a reputation for being reliable and adaptable, qualities that made him a valuable member of the crew. Despite his young age, he approached the job with professionalism and dedication. Michael's friendly demeanor and ability to connect with others made him well-liked by his fellow crew members and the Colthurst family. At just 18 years old, Chris Heyman was the youngest member of the Investor's crew. Full of energy and enthusiasm, Chris was excited about the fishing season and eager to prove himself. His youthful optimism and willingness to learn made him a dynamic presence aboard the vessel. Those who knew him described him as eager to take on new challenges and quick to adapt. The four young crew members brought vitality and determination to the Investor. They shared a respect for Mark Colthurst and appreciated the opportunity to work aboard such a modern and well-equipped vessel. For these teenagers, the Investor was more than just a job. It was a chance to build skills, explore independence, and be part of something bigger than themselves. Their lives, full of promise and potential, were tragically cut short alongside the Colthurst family. And to this day, nobody knows what happened exactly. The only thing we do know is that this wasn't an accident. This was murder. In the summer of 1982, the Investor and its crew were completing another successful season of fishing in the waters of Craig, Alaska, one of the most bustling hubs for salmon fishing in the state. Although remote, the town came alive during the season as fishermen came across the region and gathered to sell their catch and prepare for their next voyage. It was in this vibrant, transient community that the Investor docked on September 5th in 1982, marking what seemed to be an ordinary end to another fruitful day. But what followed would shock the town, the state, and eventually the nation. On the morning of September 6th in 1982, a thick column of black smoke rose from the water near the small fishing town on the Prince of Wales Island, and that smoke came from the Investor. The sight drew immediate attention as fishing boats like the Investor were vital to the local community. Town residents and other fishermen watched in horror as the expensive vessel, engulfed in flames, burned uncontrollably. Some attempted to approach the boat and help, but the intensity of the fire made it impossible to board. The blaze was so fierce that it became clear that there was little hope of saving the ship or its occupants. The Investor had docked in Craig the night before, with Mark Colthurst and his crew wrapping up the final days of the fishing season. Mark, who was a skilled and ambitious fisherman, had recently brought his family to join him on the boat for a brief visit. They had planned to celebrate Mark's 28th birthday with a meal at Ruth Ann's restaurant in town. Witnesses recalled seeing the Colthurst family and their young crew that evening. They appeared in good spirits, enjoying a rare break from the demanding work. After dinner, the family and crew returned to the boat, which was docked in Craig's Harbor for the night. Early the next morning, a man was seen piloting the Investor's skiff, a small motorized boat used for short trips. Hours later, the Investor was spotted adrift just offshore, engulfed in flames. The man seen in the skiff was now nowhere to be found. Local firefighters and Coast Guard personnel were dispatched to the scene but faced immediate challenges. The fire consumed the Investor quickly, and efforts to extinguish it were hindered by the isolated location. The vessel had drifted away from town, limiting access to firefighting equipment. By the time the blaze was under control, the boat was nearly destroyed. The deck had collapsed and the cabin was reduced to ash. As investigators sifted through the wreckage, they made a grim discovery: charred human remains. The remains were so badly burned that identifying the victims proved difficult. It was clear, however, that no one on the boat had survived. Authorities recovered fragments of bones and teeth enough to confirm that the victims included Mark Coulthurst, his wife Irene, their children Kimberly and John, and the four teenage crew members. The conditions of the body suggested that they had been killed before the fire began. Investigators theorized that the victims had been shot or otherwise incapacitated, though the fire destroyed much of the physical evidence that might have confirmed this. Adding to the mystery was the fact that the investor had been set ablaze deliberately. Accelerants, such as gasoline, were likely used to ensure that the fire spread rapidly and destroyed as much evidence as possible. Who would want to kill 8 people in cold blood and then go to such lengths to cover their tracks? The fishing community, shocked and grieving, were left with no answers, only whispers of potential suspects and speculations about motives. This case would mark the beginning of one of the most perplexing and chilling investigations in Alaska's history.
If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment cause chaos. Use ShipStation instead. From running a business out of your garage to multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating tasks. Plus, you'll get the best shipping rates from global carriers. Calm the chaos with the shipping software that delivers. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The investigation into the investor murders began in the early hours of September 6th in 1982. Sergeant James Stogsdill of the Alaska State Troopers arrived to find the scene of an unprecedented crime. From the start, the case was marked by destruction, mystery, and the grim challenge of piecing together what had happened aboard that vessel. Recognizing that the fire had destroyed almost all physical evidence, Stogsdill shifted his focus to potential witnesses and Craig. The investor had docked in the harbor that evening before the fire, and the area was bustling with activity due to the busy fishing season. Stogsdill and his team interviewed dozens of people, piecing together a timeline of events. Witnesses recalled seeing the investor return to the harbor and anchor for the night with no signs of trouble aboard. However, in the early morning hours, a man was seen piloting the investor's skiff away from the burning vessel. This sighting would be one of the few leads in the case. The man in the skiff was described as young with shoulder-length hair. The description matched a man named Jonathan Kenneth Peel, a 23-year-old former deckhand who had worked with Mark Coulthurst in the past. Peel had been fired under contentious circumstances, and Stogsdill's investigation uncovered reports of tension between the two men. Peel's dismissal, coupled with his familiarity with the investor, made him a person of interest. The skiff sighting also placed Peel near the scene of the crime, though the witness was unable to positively identify him as the man in question. This ambiguity would later come back to haunt the case as it left room for doubt. As the investigation progressed, Peel emerged as the primary suspect. His history with Coulthurst provided a potential motive for revenge, and his time working aboard the investor meant that he was familiar with the vessel's layout and operations. This knowledge could have enabled him to commit the murders and set the fire without drawing too much attention. Stogsdill documented these connections in meticulous detail, laying the foundation for the case against Peel. However, the lack of direct evidence linking Peel to the murders posed a significant challenge. The investigation would hinge on circumstantial evidence and the strength of the witness testimony. As mentioned earlier, the deliberate destruction of the investor further complicated the investigation. Accelerants, likely gasoline, had been used to ensure that the fire spread rapidly and burned with intense heat. The blaze was so thorough that it collapsed parts of the vessel, leaving only fragments of the victims' bodies and personal effects. Investigators recovered teeth, small bones, and items like a wristwatch, which were used to confirm the identities of the victims. However, the remains offered no clear indication of how the victims had died, and no murder weapons or accelerant containers were found. And as the investigation continued, the pressure got worse. The investor murders had shocked the small town of Craig, but it also drew national attention, making it one of the most infamous criminal cases in Alaska's history. The community demanded answers, and Stogsdale faced the dual challenges of conducting a thorough investigation while managing public expectations. And in the opinion of some, that's why John Peel was eventually arrested. The trials of John Peel for the investor murders were as unprecedented as the crime itself, setting records as one of the longest and most expensive criminal trials in Alaska's history. They spanned years, consumed vast resources, and left the state and the victims' families without the closure they desperately sought. The trials were defined by the challenges of prosecuting a case with no direct evidence, relying instead on circumstantial details and witness testimony that left ample room for doubt. Peel was charged in 1984, 2 years after the investor murders, following an extensive investigation led by Sergeant James Stogsdale. The prosecution alleged that Peel, a former deckhand who had been fired by Mark Coulthurst, harbored resentment that motivated him to kill Coulthurst, his family, and the teenage crew members. Peel's familiarity with the investor and its operations, as well as the witness accounts describing a man resembling Peel, were key elements of the case against him. Despite these factors, Peel maintained his innocence. The first trial, which began in 1986, was a grueling six-month affair held in Ketchikan, Alaska. It attracted significant media attention as the investor murders had become a nationwide story. The prosecution painted a narrative of betrayal and vengeance, highlighting Peel's history with Coulthurst and his proximity to the scene of the crime. Witnesses testified about seeing a man with shoulder-length hair piloting a skiff near the burning investor, though no one could definitively identify Peel as the individual in question. The lack of physical evidence and the destruction of the crime scene loomed large over the trial, with the defense arguing that the state had no concrete proof linking Peel to the murders. The fire aboard the investor had destroyed any forensic clues that could have tied Peel directly to the crime. No fingerprints, DNA, or murder weapons were recovered, and the victim's remains were too badly burned to determine a definitive cause of death. After months of testimony and deliberation, the jury was unable to reach a unanimous verdict, resulting in a hung jury. Following the mistrial, the state opted to retry Peel in 1988, determined to secure a conviction. The second trial was moved to Juneau, Alaska, in an effort to find a less biased jury pool, as Peel's case had become a topic of intense public interest across the state. The prosecution refined its arguments, once again relying on circumstantial evidence and witness testimony to build its case. But this time they argued that Peel's behavior after the murders, which included leaving Craig shortly after the fire, was suspicious. However, the defense was prepared to counter these claims. Peel's defense team argued that the state's case was built on assumptions rather than facts. They pointed out inconsistencies in witness testimony, particularly regarding the identification of the man with the shoulder-length hair. The defense also emphasized the lack of physical evidence, arguing that no direct link between Peel and the crime had been established. They painted Peel as a scapegoat, someone who had been unfairly targeted by investigators desperate to find a suspect in a high-profile case. This strategy really resonated with the jury. Throughout both trials, the emotional toll on the victims' families and the community of Craig was palpable. Many had hoped for justice and closure, but the trials only deepened divisions and left questions unanswered. The defense's portrayal of Peel as a victim of circumstantial evidence raised doubt not only about his guilt, but also the effectiveness of the investigation. Meanwhile, the prosecution's inability to deliver a decisive case highlighted the limitations of relying solely on circumstantial evidence in the absence of forensic proof. The second trial concluded in 1988, with the jury returning a verdict of not guilty on all counts. As the years passed, the investor murders continue to captivate and terrify in equal measure, their details lingering like a ghastly presence in the collective memory of Alaska. For the families of the victims, the lack of closure is a wound that time cannot heal. For the investigators, the case serves as a grim reminder of the limits of justice when evidence is reduced to ash. Even now, the waters around Craig remain eerily quiet, the echoes of that fateful day still carried by the waves. Despite the best efforts of the investigative team and the scrutiny of two long trials, the full truth of what happened on board the investor has never been discovered. It is, and perhaps always will remain still, an unsolved mystery.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs, with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.